And so I think there are some fundamental attitudes that are important for us to have in place when we think about improving our life as it relates to prayer. And so if you'd like to turn, first of all, with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I think, gives us the first thing to consider. He will say in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I think the first thing we need to have in place with regard to an attitude of prayer that helps make our prayer life fervent and successful is that we come boldly before the throne of grace. We come boldly. That idea of boldly looks at with assurance. It looks at with confidence. We can come with assurance and confidence before the throne of grace. And I think that's important for us when we go before God to pray, that we have that assurance from Him. It's not a boldness and a confidence that is born of ourselves. It's a boldness and a confidence that is a byproduct of who He is and a byproduct of our relationship with Him. Different from that is the idea of boldness that we come before God with some sort of flippancy, with some sort of arrogance or commonality. And what I mean by commonality, using terms to address the Father that are less than respectful. And I'll say something in the second period of prayer about the relationship. I don't want to step on that too much. But there is a father-child relationship that is there, to be sure. But even when addressing our fathers in the father-child relationship, there is an element of respect. I never speak to my dad like I speak to my siblings. Even though I may call him dad or daddy, that always has an element of exaltation and addressing him in that. It's never something that brings him to a common level, because he will always be exalted as my father. And so when we think about the idea of boldness, it's not coming with a kind of attitude that we speak as often you hear today in the broader religious world. I'm not necessarily indicting our brethren. Kind of speaking to God on this with this familiarity that brings Him down to our level of who we are. Yes, we have that relationship, and yes, it is personal, and yes, it is intimate, but He is always the one that is exalted. And so the first thing that we have in place here is the idea that we come together with boldness, with assurance. The second thing, if you'd like to go to the book of James, in James chapter 1, and verse 5, he says, "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Also look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And look at verse 15. James chapter 5 and verse 15. Notice again it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if his committed sins will be forgiven him." I'm not going to explain the language there, what he's talking about the prayer for the sick there. That's not the point here. That would take another 30 minutes to go into that. But the point that I want you to see is what he's talking about here is the prayer of faith. So we come to God with this confidence and this assurance. But we also come to God a prayer of faith, a trust in God. Not a trust because we know some things about God. Not even necessarily a trust because we know the power of God. But a trust in God Himself. What would it do? What would it do in our prayer if we come before God? He would or He could answer, but He chose not to. Well, we wouldn't have much trust and confidence, and we wouldn't bring it to Him. Or what would it do to God's side if He would or He could, but He didn't hear? Well, we don't have that trust and that confidence that's there. And so here he talks about this prayer of faith. Here we come before God with this trust. We come boldly, we come trusting not just in the power of God, but trusting in who God is. Our confidence, our trust in God underscores our very approach to Him. Now, having said what I did about the idea that God could or wouldn't, how many times do we, when we have a concern in our life, we have, as the prayer was offered, we have these things in our life that are things that we share with others. We share with our brothers and our sisters. But in the end, they can't do anything about that. But still, we come and we bring that to them and we share that with them. Well, why? Because we trust they'll listen. We trust they'll hear. It's not necessarily a trust in the answer, but it is a trust in the fact that they will hear. They have a heart that lends itself toward hearing. When I was a young boy, and we lived in Odessa, Texas, out west in Texas, my younger brother and sister are twins. They're born on February 13th, and I'm born on March the 6th. So there's a 2 or 3 week window that's there. And my brother got this metallic purple Stingray bicycle. Banana seat, had the streamers coming out the handles. I had this 10-speed that was oversized for my large body at the time. In fact, the 10-speed was so large, my dad had to turn the pedals sideways and sew blocks of wood there so I could reach the pedals. I wouldn't work flat. It was too big for me. But I wanted that bicycle. I wanted a bicycle just like my brother had. But my confidence was not in my dad. My trust was not in my dad. My trust was in the answer. It was in what I wanted. Now, it did turn out I got the bicycle. It wasn't that morning and my heart was broken when it wasn't there. But what I was upset about was I didn't get the thing. It had nothing to do with my father. Trusting my father would have said, regardless of what the answer is, I have faith in him. And I think that's important for us. Because when we pray, I, at least for myself, maybe you don't struggle with this, I focus more on the answer, more than the who, more than the person that's behind it. And I think that's really important for us to recognize when he talks about we come in faith. We come trusting in not just His power, not just in facts we know about Him, but we come trusting in Him. We have that prayer of faith with Him. And without that confidence, we'll not long pray. We'll not long come to Him in prayer either. So I think the second thing that we have to have in place here is we come asking in faith. Number one, we come asking with boldness, with confidence and assurance. We come trusting. We come trusting. And that's why we share things with others. We come trusting that they will listen to us. But then we look at something else I think that's important. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, here's the idea of confidence again. That's the idea of boldness, our idea of assurance. We come with this assurance that we have in Him. There's our trust. There's our trust. That if we ask anything according to His will, I want you to underscore that idea of according to His will. That's our third point. According to a prayer, according to His will. What does according to His will mean? Well, some have said according to His will means that it has to be in accord with His revelation. And if it's not in His revelation, if it's not revealed to us, then we can't pray for that. And then, following that, begin to explain, well, why we can't pray and it's not successful. Well, let me tell you, I don't think John's giving us this to tell us our prayers are going to be unsuccessful. I don't think John is giving this to tell us why we can't pray. John is giving us this to tell us that we can pray. But when we pray, there's something else that underscores that. And he said it's according to His will. Now when he says according to His will, I don't think that is without exception, absolute, because we find a couple of exceptions to that. For example, you come to Paul. And Paul prays that the thorn in the flesh will be removed. Well, if I tie this point back in with the last one, if Paul's confidence is in the answer, then he's going to be disappointed because the thorn in the flesh is not removed. But God answers according to His will. You come to Jesus and you have Jesus that prays in the garden, "Lord, that's not my will, but thine be done." But that was not in accord with the purpose with which He came. That wasn't in accord with what the revelation was. But what He says is, "Thy will be done." What He's saying is this. When you look at prayer, the fundamental question is, who's in charge? Who makes the decision? Who determines the answer? Prayer is not an expression of the Father's will. Prayer is an expression of our will. But we come with our will, understanding that when the bottom line is drawn, He's the one that makes the decision. It is His will. Not necessarily His revelation, but it is His will that's going to be done. His revelation is an expression of His will. Prayer is an expression of our will, of our heart. And we come with boldness, we come with confidence, and we come in faith, trusting in Him. That what we can do is we can lay our prayer before Him, our heart's concern, our passion before Him, and we have this assurance. Notice that He hears us. And I think that's important for us. Now, let me put a parenthetical thought here just a moment. It's not unusual as a parent, and I've also heard this as an elder, and I'm stepping a little bit on the next session here, but I think it is important to tie this in here. It's not important as unusual as a parent, so a child will come and talk to the parent. And in the end, the answer is different than what the child wants. And the child says, "Well, you didn't listen to me." Well, no. The parent listened. But the parent got to make the decision. Just because the answer is different than what you requested doesn't mean you haven't been heard. And how many times as elders someone said, "Well, we don't have a voice. You don't listen to us." Well, no, it's not that we don't listen. It's just that somebody else gets to make the will. And God's delegated that authority. And just because the answer is different than what the request is doesn't mean you haven't been heard. And I say that to impress upon us that who makes the decision here? Who gets to decide the answer? God gets to decide the answer. Prayer is an expression of our will, but we understand when we do that, it is according to His will. He's the one that gets to determine what the answer is going to be. And yes, sometimes that answer has a varied response. Sometimes we can look back and we can say, yes, the answer was yes. Sometimes we look and we can say, the answer is no. And sometimes we can look and say, well, I haven't determined one way or the other with what that is. I'm still trying to figure out what that answer is. But we can have this assurance that He hears us. That's so important to us. We have an audience with Him. And it is according to His will. He gets to determine. Now then, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, He will say, "Have this mind in you which is in Christ Jesus." So if what is happening is, in our transformation, we're being transformed in the image of Christ, then whose mind are we taking on? We're taking on the mind of Christ. We're taking on the mind of God. When we're taking on the mind of Christ and the mind of God, then our prayers also, as we grow, it is going to grow more in harmony with what the will of the Father is. It may be as a child we start out with the Father, and because we've not undergone transformation to any degree at all, our prayers may not necessarily be what they will be later, but as our mind becomes His mind, our mind, His will becomes our will. And so as that happens is, we are praying according to His will. But even then, is there an occasion in which the prayer was prayed that was different than the will of the Father? Yes, back to the garden. Here Jesus says, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And notice the answer comes. God the Father sends angels to comfort Him.
He sends angels to comfort. He doesn't spare the cup. He doesn't spare the suffering. But he sends angels to minister or to serve him. You see the same thing with Abraham. When Abraham is going to appeal to the Father about the righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he's already said, I'm going to destroy the city. And the Father keeps giving. But Abraham quits asking before the Father extinguishes the giving. But here you find the idea that here is the prayer that is requested, and it's according to the will of the Father. He gets to decide what the answer is. Now, on a practical side of things, that may be hard to do. We're talking about it on one level, but when we get it to the practice side, and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed, and at the end of the prayer, it seems like we have prayed repeatedly and we've not received an answer, or the answer is different than what we have requested. It may begin to try our boldness. It may begin to try our confidence and our trust that we continue to answer, because we say, well, I've asked two or three times and I just haven't got an answer yet, so I'm just going to stop praying. Well, I go back to Paul in 2 Corinthians again. What would he have done? Because after three times, you might would have thought after the first time, okay, well, he's just busy. He's running the universe. He doesn't have time. The second time is kind of like, did I knock on the door hard enough? And the third time, and there's no answer, say, well, okay, I guess he's just not going to hear me. No, the Lord hears. What the Lord wants, and there's two parables that circumscribe this part. You have the parable of the friend at midnight and the parable of the importunate widow. What God wants is he wants our persistence in prayer. And the point of those two parables is not that we're going to weary God to death. So here's the child that comes to the mother or the father and mama, 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 and find daddy, daddy, find out what? What do you want? No, that's not God. He's not going to be exasperated with us, but what he wants is he wants our persistence as we come to him. He wants our expressed dependence upon him. That's what this is about. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that there are times that God didn't give me the answer to the prayer I prayed, and that he knew better than I. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, you find something I think that's very important here in verse 12. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. You see this? You have boldness and access. Those two things circumscribe faith, and they also underscore our coming to him according to his will. And then look at verse 20 of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Before that, he has said, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And what he asks us to do is to embrace that. Here's our faith in him. Here's our boldness. Here's our confidence. And we come asking according to his will, but even he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's our frailty, our impatience, our wanting to know the answer to things, our control issues, that we want the Father to answer the prayer the way we want the prayer to be answered. But he knows best what the answer is. It's according to his will, not our will. And when a child learns that with a parent, here the child comes and makes the appeal, has an audience with a parent, has access to the parent. And when a child understands, I ask and the parent determines, the parent answers, it's according to the parent's will, then that conflict between the parent and the child really will subside. Or at least it will mitigate itself a lot. But the problem between the parent and the child is the child wants to tell the parent what the will is, what the will is. And if we're not careful, we take on that same thing with the father. We come to the father, we want to tell him what his will is. And we butt our heads against him. And we leave in frustration, because we haven't settled it, the fact that it is according to his will. Not necessarily his revelation. But it is according to he gets to make the decision. And then in this thing of his will, let's look at one other aspect. Look at Mark chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, rather. Matthew chapter 7. Look at the last part there of Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, first part, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? The first thing I would underscore, I'm sure that you're aware, is this is in the present tense. It's not ask, but keep on asking. It's not keep on knocking. And so the idea is you keep on asking, you keep on knocking, and God will open the doors for you. But the point is not that. The point is this. When you look at a parent, what man is there of you who is a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? So what would you think about a father that did that? What would you think about a father who, when the son asked him for bread, would, okay, son, here's the bread, and it's a stone. Or, here's a serpent. Well, you wouldn't think much of that, would you? In fact, we probably would have some very harsh things to say about the lack of concern for that father. But what's the point? The point is, when the child asks, the father wants to give. I know children may not really believe this, but from a parent's point of view, parents really want to say yes. They don't want to say no. When a child comes and asks, the preferred answer, the desired answer is, we want to say yes to you. But sometimes, because we know something different than you do, we see the answer better is something different. Now, here's the point that he makes. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. And that idea of evil is not necessarily wretchedly evil. It's not malignantly evil. It's by contrast. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, notice, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? In other words, the point is, just like when the child asks the parent wants to give, the parent wants to say yes, so when the child of the father asks, the father wants to say yes too. We don't come to God as some ogre in the sky, some cosmic cock just waiting to catch us in some flaw and then hammer us. We have a father who loves that wants to give. He wants to say yes to us. But sometimes, according to his will, the answer is different than that. But here's our confidence and here's our trust. We come according to his will and he wants to answer that yes. He wants to give that to us. We're not going to ask for bread and him give us a stone. He's going to answer what's best according to our will, and he knows what's best. And then the final thing I would consider in this, we've talked about boldness, we've talked about asking faith and according to his will. The final thing I would think about this is, someone says, okay, now prove he answers. Prove the answer is yes. Well, you know, in debating, you have an affirmative and a negative. That's the responsibility of one to prove or disprove the other. And so what you have is you have a propositions. And sometimes those propositions represent what the issue is in truth, and sometimes they are distorted propositions. Or you go to the lab, to the science lab. And so what you're going to do is you have this hypothesis. And so you're going to put the hypothesis to the test in the lab. And you're going to test things in the lab to demonstrate whether this hypothesis is true or false, or whether adjustments need to be made. Well, you're not going to go to the polemic platform and have a debate that's going to prove the answer to the prayer. You're not going to go to the lab and perform a test a lab test that prove what the answer to prayer is. The answer to prayer is not something you're going to debate. It's not something you're going to test in a lab. Prayer was not intended to be that way. Prayer is an outgrowth of our trust and faith in Him. And you can't test faith in the lab. So you're not going to go in the world and someone says, "Well, you prove that to me." Well, if you'll give me some latitude, I think I can tell you some answers to prayer in my life. But I'm going to tell you, that's my perspective. That's my point of view about what I have prayed for and what I have perceived the answers. And sometimes it's been contrary to what I wish. But I think I can tell you the answer to some prayers. But I can't go to the lab and prove it. I can't go to the platform and debate it. I just know it. And I know it because I know something about Him. Both of our children were 21 years old when they married. And so for 21 years, my wife and I prayed about the kind of mate they would marry. And I didn't realize this until reaching that point and looking back. But it took God 21 years to answer the prayer. I was wanting it answered 21 years earlier. And you know, sometimes that's the way it is too, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, Abraham had to wait 25 years before it came about. Sometimes it's not going to be in just that moment for us. But prayer is important for us. Prayer circumscribes our relationship with Him. And if we don't have that relationship, that faith in Him, prayer will not last long, and our life spiritually will not last long either. We come in faith. We come with confidence. And we come asking according to His will. And when we do that, we recognize, we lay it before the throne of God with whom we have access, and we leave the answer to Him and allow Him to determine what's best for us. Fundamental to acceptable prayer, fundamental to our prayer life, to learning to pray, is to learn to pray with boldness, confidence, assurance, faith in Christ, come according to His will, and understand that in the final analysis, He wants to say yes to us. We are His children. If you're not a child of God this morning, this moment, you can be. He's made the provisions for us. He's opened the door of opportunity to heaven for us through the offering of His Son on the cross. And that blood will redeem us from our sins if we'll be washed in the waters of baptism because we believe Him to be the Christ and have changed our mind about God and about sin. And we can serve You in that way. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.